You're listening to SBS News.
Chris Gould regularly faces challenges when it comes to being in public spaces with his guide dog Simba. The 30-year-old was born with a degenerative genetic disorder called retinitis pigmentosa, which leaves him blind at night and with very low vision during the day. Mr. Gould says he struggles to cope without the caramel-coloured Labrador Cross American Retriever.
So I'm watching the football on a Friday night at home and it gets dark. I wouldn't previously have been able to just go and walk to the shops. I could have, but it would have been difficult. Whatever, would have bumped into things, that kind of thing. So Simba will, you know, I can just walk the shops and he'll guide me there to the storefront, and without having to worry about anything, I can now go out at night time. I can walk around in crowds. I can walk into venues.
Mr. Gould has had Simba since 2017, and he believes that at least once a week he's asked about his dog.
I don't think I've ever been properly refused service, like they've refused to serve me, but they've tried to. It happened about half a dozen times at a local supermarket near me, which I eventually got that sorted out. It happened at cafes and restaurants. It's happened at large shopping centres as well. That's pretty common. And the other one is probably, I'd say, taxis.
Unfortunately, Chris and Simba aren't alone. New data from Guide Dogs Victoria reveals that one in two handlers across the country have experienced some form of rejection in the past 2 years, including refusal to entry. The month-long survey of more than 120 dog handlers has found that cafes and restaurants are the main offenders, followed by taxis and rideshare services. The General Manager of Guide Dog and Vision Services at Guide Dogs Victoria, Alistair Stott, says he isn't surprised by the results, considering Guide Dogs Victoria often gets complaints from both handlers and members of the public who witness refusals of entry.
What was really concerning from our perspective is that some reported more than 10 refusals over that period, and we think it's really important to make the public and community and businesses aware that guide dogs have a legal right to access all areas, the only exceptions being operating rooms and commercial kitchens.
The CEO of Assistance Dogs Australia, Richard Lord, says discrimination is also felt by those with other types of assistance dogs.
Everyone knows that guide dogs have been around 100 years, but now there's many other dogs helping people who require a wheelchair for mobility, people living with post-traumatic stress, families with kids with autism, people with diabetes, people with epilepsy, the hearing dogs, and a range of other dogs who are helping people with mental health issues as well.
Mr. Stott and Mr. Lord both agree there is a general lack of knowledge as to the rights of those with assistance dogs. Alistair Stott puts that down to the high turnover of staff in some businesses, who often may not appropriately train staff.
It is really important that organisations that do provide services to the public do train their staff at an induction and have regular training, retraining programs to make sure that all of their staff are aware that they cannot refuse access, and to understand that the dogs are actually very well trained to operate in a way with their handlers in the cafes and restaurants that won't interfere.
Mr. Lord says that there are also some cultural barriers to understanding rights or being comfortable around dogs.
That's mainly because people are uneducated into the new forms of assistance dogs. There's also a cultural aspect. Some cultures don't rate dogs highly and don't want the dog getting into their cab or their premises.
Alistair Stott at Guide Dogs Victoria says that while the impact of restricting access can be harmful, often the consequences are far greater.
We find that people with low vision and blindness are challenged by sight and social isolation. And so to be refused access leaves them feeling frustrated and upset and in some cases even humiliated. And as a consequence, they actually do change their movements. They tend to avoid areas as a consequence of that. So it has real-life impact.
He warns that there are hefty penalties for those that don't comply with the Domestic Animals and Disability Discrimination Act.
It is actually a legal offence to refuse access. And so guide dog handlers have the ability to take a complaint to the Australian Human Rights Commission to actually investigate where access has been refused.
Mr. Lord says that if people are unsure if the assistance dog is a genuine one, they can ask for a form of assistance dog identification. But he's urging people to realise that animals play an important role in saving lives.
Many people who now have a dog, don't have a carer full time. They have a carer to get them up and dress them and put them in their chair and come back in the evening to put them to bed. The rest of the day they rely on their dog. So not only are they doing the handy stuff like picking things up or unloading your front loading washing machine.
Chris Gould is hopeful that through gradual education and change, he and Simba will be able to go about their usual day-to-day activities with no troubles. He believes it all starts with people being more respectful.
People just blatantly presume that Simba is a pet or just a dog, but he's not. He's really a mobility aid for me and I need him to get around. So when people walk up to me, maybe a shopping centre or something like that, and say, oh, your dog's not allowed, that's what's quite upsetting because they don't really question what the dog is. In reality, it'd be much better if they could even ask the guide dog handler if they could see the dog's credentials. I really don't mind when they do that.
He also believes that better signage on public transport will help people from all backgrounds to understand that dogs can also act as a mobility aid. Groups like Guide Dogs Victoria and Assistance Dogs Australia are also working to better educate people as to how to deal with the dogs themselves. Assistance Dogs Australia's Richard Lord says that people should treat assistance dogs like they would any other dog.
The dog's working. It doesn't need to be disturbed while it's doing its job. People can, you know, have a look and watch it go. But we teach all people, you know, kids especially, if it's a pet dog or a working dog, don't just run up and try and pat it. Always ask the owner first. And if the owner says, unfortunately, it's working and would you mind not patting it? Please listen to them.
Samantha Beniak-Brooks, SBS News.
If you enjoyed this, you can find more SBS features on our website or from your favourite podcaster like iTunes, Spotify, Acast, Stitcher or Wooshka.